Danny.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, we're here to talk about the great city, the great American city in the Pacific Northwest of Seattle, Washington. I had the opportunity to go up there last week for three nights, and it was my first trip. And I got to tell you, add that to one of the great handful of American cities, because it is right up there with my favorites, Chicago, New Orleans, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It's right up there. It's over like off Northwest Highway and technology.
You're new, so stop it.
God. Where did Mino go?
This can end as fast as it started.
Boy, that's ballsy.
God.
Right out of the chute.
It's been here 2 minutes.
And a complete non sequitur at that.
No, it was kind of fit. Yeah, you know what? It's funny because most people that have their favorite cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of them will say right out of the chute it's New York or whatever. But I'm kind of with you that it's Chicago, it's New Orleans, it's San Francisco, and Seattle is way up there too.
And the one thing that all of these cities have in common is they're near. There's a lot of similarities to all of the ones that I just mentioned. And I think one of the main things is being near a body of water that's not necessarily beachy. You know what I mean?
But like it's there.
San Diego.
It provides something, though.
Yes, it's there. The huge body of water is there. So, you know, in Seattle, you've got the Pacific Ocean. And in Chicago, you've got whatever lake that is, Michigan. And then in Louisiana.
New Orleans, you got the Gulf.
We've got the Gulf, but you've also got, you know,
Pontchartrain
and the Mississippi River.
Yeah, true.
There's just something cool about being around those giant bodies of water.
Right. Whether or not you can get in them or not,
yeah.
It doesn't really matter to me. It's just that they're there. They provide something.
Their presence adds something to the vibe and the culture of the city.
Now, one thing I noticed is Seattle, very much like a lot of other cities, and very much so like Dallas and Fort Worth, a lot of development. I mean, tons and tons and tons of what appears to be brand new West Dallas, Trinity Groves type apartment complex.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
A lot.
Dude, it's been 25 years since I've been there. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long time for me, too.
Okay.
And mainly for me, it was going up there early on in college, and we went up there and stayed in the city and, you know, did the touristy things, the Pike Market.
Pike Market.
Doing all the Space Needle-y stuff and just generic things. But then we were camping out in that Franklin Falls, or there's an area about an hour east of town where you got the ocean right there.
Yeah.
But then you are within a stone's throw of the mountains and these majestic national forests.
Yes.
So we ended up taking, one day we went to Bainbridge, the island that is about, 8-9 miles?
Yeah.
Off of downtown, the coast right there in downtown. Really cool little island. It's about a 10-mile diameter island, and you can really see how the other half lives. I can't imagine what property values are on that little guy, but my God.
I mean, are the homes there just overwhelmingly beautiful?
Yeah, they're not necessarily mansion-esque, but you can just tell that is an island of wealth.
Yeah.
That is the island of affluence, as I like to refer to it.
Did you guys did you walk around and go shopping and stuff like that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit because it is legal. Things are legal in Washington State, but we decided to take a little visit to a certain shop.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was interesting about this is you get off the ferry. It's about a 30-35 minute ferry ride to get to Bainbridge. And I guess somebody had prearranged this, but we get off and there's this probably 62-year-old hippie guy in essentially a tie-dye shirt and sandals that's driving a van and is like, "Hey guys, you ready to go to the dispensary?"
So he was selling the dispensary?
Well, he would take, they would take people that would prearrange. And it makes sense. Give them a free ride to the dispensary. They go in there and spend a bunch of money, and then you come drop them off wherever they want downtown.
Oh, so he's paid by the dispensary.
He's one of the owners.
Oh.
Yeah. So we come to find out that not only is he part owner, so is Brendan, the drummer of Blues Traveler. who happens to be working behind the counter explaining all of the different strains and levels of THC and pot and all this crap. I have no idea.
Blues Traveler's drummer.
Yes, Brendan. He is there. He is part owner, and he was working, selling legal marijuana.
Wow.
And we had a nice 20-minute conversation about Big Dick Hunter.
Former host here on the radio
station.
They're
friends. And I told him, I go, hey, you're in a band, right? He said, yeah. And I go, what band? He said, Blues Traveler. I go, you're the drummer, right? He said, yeah. And I go, what's your guitar player's name? It's Chan, right? He said, yeah. I go, well, a guy that I used to work with in Dallas in radio is good friends with Chan, and you may know him. His name's Richard. He goes, oh, Big Dick? Yeah. Yeah, him. So that was pretty cool. But, man, the amount of knowledge and varieties of weed that exist. And
yeah, couldn't you tell them exactly what kind of high you were looking for?
They can pinpoint it to a T.
And he's got just the thing for
just
you.
The thing.
He knows right where to go.
I didn't know there was a such thing as a marijuana suppository.
Green?
What?
Oh, yeah. And
you
they
know what
have
that is, Corby?
For men.
Yeah, Mike. I'm 50.
It's a marijuana thing, and if you really want it to kick ass, so to speak, that's where you put it. They also have one for women.
Oh, no.
That goes in another place.
Are you kidding me?
Swear to God. Yeah, I learned a lot about pot on this trip.
Is this commonplace now?
I guess.
Living here and,
it's crazy.
That's shocking to me.
If it
what, that they have a vaginal pot insertion?
I think it's vaginal, not vaginal.
But yeah, many, many different forms. So we ended up, you know, I bought a t-shirt, you know, just so I could say that I went to one of those places. And then they give you a ride back downtown. We had a great dinner right on the ocean, right on a seaport.
Yeah.
It's so cool, man. There's nothing.
What kind of weather did you get?
Great. Like 50s during the day, 40s at night. A little bit of clouds in the morning, but it'd burn off just like any other coastal town.
Really? So yeah. It was sunny?
Yeah, for the most part.
You know, that is the one drawback, and everybody that goes there to live says the same thing. And my buddy that you guys know, Dave Netherland, he lived there for a long time in the 90s, and just that weather, that constant cloud rain is enough to make you insane if you're not really used to it and your mind's not right.
Yeah.
And people, you know, they'll tell you that's what makes them go insane is that dreary weather.
A lot of people attribute the higher suicide rate to the weather there.
Yeah.
I don't know. One other thing I noticed about Seattle that I wasn't expecting is I saw no imagery, icons, nothing of the Seattle music movement of the early 90s. I expected to see statues and murals.
You know
downtown,
why?
And it just wasn't. It didn't exist. In all of the bars we went to, you didn't hear grunge played on any of it. It's kind of like
they don't want to stereotype themselves.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a very good job of it. Really, really good job. There was one thing that I saw that was cool is this place called Central Tavern, which is downtown, or at the what's that area that's like off the coast that you go up the hill. It's something hill. Anyway. But there's a bar up there, and I saw one poster of this band, Red Cross, that had played there sometime in the 90s, and opening up for them in small print at the bottom was Soundgarden.
Oh, really?
So this was when Soundgarden was obviously small potatoes in their hometown.
But I think it's like any other
city.
That
was the only thing that I saw that represented that era of music from that city at all.
They're clearly not. It's not like they're embarrassed by it. I mean, it defined that city for a long time, but I think it's such a fluid city, and it's such a progressive. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep moving. We're not this. This was a great thing, which happened 25 years ago for us.
But was then. This is now.
And we've moved on, and we're proud of our boys and all that. But I see what you're saying. That it was so big that you would think that there'd be something there.
I mean, my God, they still show the stupid Longhorns on Dallas Cowboy football games before.
Yeah, of course.
Or they got to go to the stockyards or something about a horse. So you would just think that. You see a lot of that stuff, and you just didn't.
Right, but the thing is, too, as meaningful as that was, like, for us, mm-hmm. Because we were that age, that's really all it's meaningful to.
You're right.
You know?
Although now to kids that are 7, 8, 10 years old, it's classic rock.
It is.
Just crazy. People are really friendly
there.
You
thought it would never end, didn't you?
Right.
The locals are really friendly. The people in the service industry are great. It seemed very Midwest to me in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I found, from what I remember too, very, very kind.
Mm-hmm.
Overly kind.
Yeah.
Did you do the market and we walked around a little bit, but we didn't.
You didn't really see the fish. No, nobody really wanted to do that.
We didn't see them tossing salmon or anything.
No, didn't see anybody tossing salmon or cod. No, we just hung out. We rented an Airbnb in the Ballard neighborhood, which is great. Walking distance from tons of, you know, coffee shops and restaurants and whatnot. So we were in a really good area. So we just kind of hung out there at the house and went out at night a couple places, had a nice dinner one night and hit a couple of bars downtown. But it was a pretty chill trip. But I'd love to go back there and explore it a little bit more when you're not at the behest of 12 other dudes. It was a huge traveling party.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to go there again, too. It's been a long time for me.
You know, we live in the middle of the ass factory of the world.
Yes.
What was it like up there? Because I don't remember.
Well, if there are any hot women in Seattle, let me know, because I didn't see one.
That's what I kind of figured.
And that makes no sense. Oh, I will tell you one thing. If you're a tall, skinny, white dude, and you have a girlfriend, 9 times out of 10, she's Korean.
Are you serious?
I saw that everywhere. Tall, skinny, white dudes that look like me with little bitty Korean girls.
Really?
Yes. The mixed marriage or mixed couples up there of white dudes to Korean women is higher than anywhere else in the world. Maybe not San Francisco, but there's something about that Pacific Northwest that those two attract.
I like it.
Can't say I don't. But yeah, you should go back if it's been that long, man. It was a hell of a trip and a really, really cool city. Capitol Hill was the name of that area.
You know what? It's not easy to get to, and it's not easy to get back from.
It's a long airplane. 4 hours. You are investing 4 hours, but of sitting on a plane and just getting to another part of the country.
And on the way back, you're losing the 2 hours, yep. And it just your day's done.
It is.
It's shot.
It is.
Well, good. I'm glad you went.
Yeah, man.